Samuel and chapter 9. And I'm going to read two verses, verse 6 and verse 7 of chapter 9 of 2 Samuel. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Well, Mephibosheth could never forget that day. Word spread through the countryside, King Saul and Jonathan are dead. David is now the king. In Bible times, when one king's passed on and another took their place, the king taking their place would oftentimes wipe out the family of the former king. The servants thought that that was what David was going to do. He was going to wipe out the family of Jonathan and Saul. A servant grabbed him up, and there was Mephibosheth, a small child. And as a servant took him to hide him from the troops of David, the servant dropped Mephibosheth. He crushed his ankles. Mephibosheth would be a cripple for the rest of his life. His life changed on that day. He was born a prince, but he became a pauper. And Mephibosheth would, however, soon discover that there would come a day that would make even a far greater impact on his life and on his future. And that's the day he found grace. Now, grace is a scary word to the devil. He doesn't like to hear it. But it's the wonder of the gospel. No other religion is based upon such a concept as grace. God's favor that is unearned, undeserved, and unrepayable. This concept is the key that unlocks the entire New Testament. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1 says, Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter 3:18, But grow in grace. Now, Satan would have us to believe that you just leave the grace of God at the altar once a person is saved and that's the end of it. And no, friend, grace continues all the way through this life. We're under the grace of God. But for the grace of God, things are happening in our life. And God gives us that grace. Isn't that wonderful? So we don't only experience grace at the point of salvation, but grace follows us all through this life. And so, grace is God's undeserved favor on our lives. We can't do anything to deserve God's favor. He bestows His grace upon us. Now look at this. Grace will find you first. Grace will find you first. David asked, Is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? So David was seeking out. David was seeking out someone whom he could bless. with grace. Jesus said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. He come to seek and save that which is lost. He's seeking you if you're lost this morning. He wants to save you. He wants to save you from an eternal hell. You just let Him. That's all you have to do. Let Him bless your life by believing in Him as your personal Savior. So forgotten by his nation, abandoned by his family, no reason to remember Mephibosheth. But out of God's grace, David remembered this crippled man. Now, he didn't remember him because he wanted something from Mephibosheth. His lieutenants, David's lieutenants, quickly reminded David, this fellow's no use to you. He's a cripple. What could he possibly offer to you? David brushed all that aside. He wasn't looking for anything from Mephibosheth. He wanted to be a blessing to him, and that's what he wants to do to you. And that's what he wants to do to me as well. He did not remember him because of what he could get out of him. He was motivated by pure grace. Not only that, but grace pursues us. I'll go wherever you are. Or it'll go wherever you are, rather. Go to Lodabar. Lodabar was a place that was barren. It was dry. Nothing grew there. It was a desolate place. It was a hiding place for criminals. It was a destitute place. But yet it went to Lodabar. Grace found Mephibosheth in Lodabar. Very poor place. Ask the prodigal son. It found him in a pig pen and brought him home. Ask Joseph. It found him in a pit dug for him by his brothers and lifted him up as high as second in command of all of Egypt. Ask the Samaritan woman. She experienced grace. She found it at a well with Jesus in the middle of the day. Her life changed forever once she experienced God's grace. God's grace also carries us. Mephibosheth couldn't help himself. He couldn't reach David if he had to. So therefore, David sent men to carry him back to himself. Listen, he'll carry you. He'll carry you. God's grace is not dependent upon our ability. I'm thankful of that. God's grace is dependent upon God's ability, not mine. When you can't walk any farther, let grace carry you. When you can't believe anymore, let His grace carry you. When you're weak, let His grace carry you. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so our weakness gives God the opportunity to bestow His grace upon us and carry us through. Not only that, but grace is where you abandon your crippled past. Grace is where you abandon your crippled past. David had summoned Mephibosheth, but it was up to Mephibosheth to respond. And God is reaching out to you this morning with His grace, but it's up to you to respond, my friend. He'll not force you to do so. That's why I never made it as a Calvinist. I saw right away. It's so for whosoever will. God does not make us like robots that we're wound up and we're like puppets on a string and God pulls a string. No, He's made us as free moral agents. That's why He gave us a brain. That's why He gave us a heart. That's why we can respond to the gospel, either to reject the gospel or to accept the gospel. one or the other. But God's grace is always there. Embracing grace means letting go of our crippled past. Not only had Mephibosheth's feet been crippled, but his life had been crippled as well. And he could have felt sorry for himself. And I'm thinking, in his position, I certainly would be feeling sorry for myself. Hal Lindsey wrote a book years and years ago called How to Win Over Depression. I don't know what the book said. I can't remember what it said. The only thing I can remember about that book is that all depression, outside of clinical depression, all depression is caused by feeling sorry for ourselves. And if I sit around and feel sorry for myself, pretty soon I'm depressed. I've been telling Cheryl lately I've been depressed. She says, well, you're feeling sorry for yourself again. No, she didn't say that. But she probably thought it. He could have let bitterness keep him in Lodabar, blaming David. He could have let fear keep him in Lodabar. David was known as a violent person. He was somebody to be afraid of. God desires to trade your past for his presence. Let go of it. Let go of your past. Embrace the grace of God. Not only that, but grace is where you discover who you were born to be. Maybe as a boy, Mephibosheth pretended that what it would have been like had he been the royalty he was born to be. He was born into the house of royalty, and he had lost all that whenever David took the throne, and Mephibosheth became a cripple. He had lost that position. Now David looked down at him and restored his place in the palace. Go get him and bring him into my home. He can eat at my table continually as long as I'm living. Now that's grace, friend. What could Mephibosheth offer? Nothing. What can you offer God? What can I offer God? Nothing. But God blesses us because of his wonderful, wonderful grace. And not merely was Mephibosheth given a position of royalty, he was given a position of family in verse 11 as one of the king's sons. He was a member of the family. Are you a member of God's family? If not, you can be by trusting Christ as your Savior. I want to go into John Newton's life somewhat, and what a marvelous life and testimony he had of God's saving grace. John Newton's mother died when John was 7 years old. His mother was a Christian, and she had familiarized him with the Bible and the Word of God. John went to sea when he was 11 years old. His dad was a sea captain. Now, 250 years ago, a sailor's life was brutal. Sailoring has never been an easy life, and it's never been a safe life. There's always an element of danger if you're a sailor. But 250 years ago, it was rough. He learned all that at 11 years old. Somewhere around his late teens or early 20s, he was shanghaied into the British Navy. That's how they drafted people back in those days. So you're in the Navy. Let's go. He rebelled against the British Navy and its strict rules and regulations. He deserted. They found him. They tied him to the mast and gave him 80 lashes in front of 300 sailors. And then John Newton says, I want to be discharged and I'll go to a slave ship. So the British Navy discharged him and he became a crew member on a slave ship. It went further downhill from there. And John Newton's ship somehow came into port and he wound up being bought as a slave by a slave in Africa. It was a woman. She bought him as her slave and she treated him brutally. She tied a chain around his neck and made him beg for food from her table, made him crawl around like a dog. His father found out where he was, and a friend of his father's rescued him from that. Many dangers, toils, and snares, he writes, I have already come, through which I have already come. John Newton lived it. He lived the life. He rose to be a captain of a slave ship. And somewhere around 30 years old, he was in a terrible storm. And he cried out, Lord, save me. John Newton says that night he was born again. His life totally changed. John Newton did not have any formal education, but his mother had taught him how to read. If we can read, we can educate ourselves. If we cannot read, we cannot be educated. John Newton taught himself Greek and Latin and Hebrew. He studied for the ministry. God called him to be a preacher. The Church of England would not have him as a preacher because he had been associated with slavery. It was 10 years before he became a preacher. And finally they appointed him to a church. And soon the church was so packed they had to build a balcony. John Newton was a very powerful preacher of the Word of God. And he had a friend by the name of William Wilberforce, who was a politician. And together, John Newton and William Wilberforce outlawed slavery in England in 1807. The year Newton died. Here's what John Newton wrote as he wrote his own epitaph. His gravestone reads like this: John Newton, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I want to draw for you right now. And so let's have all the lights out. I'm going to draw a slave ship and I'm going to draw that the picture of Newton experiencing the grace of God. Let's have all the lights out. Let's have everyone standing, please. Lights on. How about you, friend? Are you saved? If not, you can be by trusting Christ as Savior. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. With every head bowed, no one looking around, I wonder if there's a man or a woman or a young person who might say, preacher, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know if I'm going to hell when I die. But I'm interested enough about my own soul to ask you to include me in your prayer, preacher. Anybody like that, just lift up your hand real high and put it right back down. Man or woman. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm talking about being born again. Anybody like that? You've never been born again, but you want to be. Anybody like that this morning? Just lift up your hand. Father, we're grateful for every blessing you've given to us. Most of all, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would speak to each heart this morning. Help us to see something we've not seen before. And I pray, God, that you remind each of us that we must be born again. That's the only way to be saved forever, is experience the new birth by faith. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing Just As I Am without one plea. You're welcome to come and pray. And my, there's a lot of things to pray about. You're welcome to come, whatever your need. We're going to, it might be that you need to join this church. It might be that you need to be saved. Whatever your need, you're welcome to come as we sing Just As I Am without one plea. Come on.
Just as I am without one plea. Worship for me. Come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Hey, we'll pray. Lord, I thank you for the grace of God, and thank you for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I just pray and ask that you, by chance, somebody here is not born again, that they might see their need of the Savior, and that your Spirit of God will work on them. And I pray that you draw them to Christ, that you might be pleased, that this person would get in a position that they might bring you glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.